This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
Hi, folks. Welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Segment brought to you by Ed Hansen's Muffler, where all your pipe dreams come true. Whether you're driving a hot rod, an off-road vehicle, a custom car, or just a bone stock driver, these guys will definitely take care of all of your exhaust needs. From manifold to tailpipe, they use top-of-the-line equipment, which gets them a AA approval rating from the Better Business Bureau. They're huge on supporting car shows and off-road events. In fact, they're a big sponsor of SDORC. 619-698-7030. I highly recommend you make an appointment before you go in. But if you don't even know what you want, they'll give you multiple options. They've been around since 1985. Give them a shot. All right, we got Ed Stoven and Jeff Jones in the house. How are you guys today?
We're doing great. How about you, Jeff?
Doing fantastic. Good afternoon.
Look, he's got a map of El Cajon.
I do have a map that was kind of written by a child. It's almost in crayon, but it's ink pen.
You're so halfway there.
I'm pretty much sure about that.
I'll bring you a pencil, because that way you can erase.
I should be able to erase it. I'm running out of whiteout.
I got great big fat, you know, beginner pencils for kindergartners. They're a triangle. They say they're developed so they can get a really good hand of writing. Mm-hmm. I bought a case of them, man. I love those things. Ed, how are you doing?
Doing great, Dave.
Who you got calling in?
We have Mark Smith, the state lobbyist for the San Diego Off-Road Coalition.
Is he on the air?
I don't think he's on yet.
Oh!
No. He said he'd be on, but
Did you give him the phone number so we can just call him? No, you gave it to...
Give him the phone number?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Well, then that way, always give him. That's okay. That's just the other nice backup.
Yeah,
because there's a good chance. Well, yeah, because there's a good chance he's either busy or he's forgotten. So let me talk to Jeff about the Lost Lizard Fun Run, and you can go give him the phone number. So Lost Lizard Fun Run, it is a little bit down the road, but pre-planning is always smart planning.
We're doing marketing right now, so we are hitting the town. My good friend, Rick Moore, who's listening right now. Good afternoon, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
He's my partner, and we go out to all the businesses. We went to 41 businesses last week alone. And we talk to the folks and give them a sponsor pack and see if they'll let us put our tripods and our posters in their windows.
Right.
And every single one of them, is very welcoming, and they understand that we do promote off-road safety and also keeping the deserts open for everybody. And they realize that without sales, there are no trails.
Well, without that's a good one. You ought to make a T-shirt out of that. The other thing, too, is eyeballs are everything. Everybody wants, they're going to do something with you, they want to know what's the return on their investment.
Of course.
And when you can go out and see 40 businesses and get 40 responses, that's telling that you guys are doing a good job. Because how many people show up normally at the Lost Lizard Fun Run?
5,000, anywhere between 5,000 and 6,000 people. Right. And that doesn't include our volunteers, which are at least 100.
Right.
I couldn't even count.
Right.
I could be on stage and say, let me thank you to all the volunteers, and I'd just be standing there for an hour and a half. And they all know who they are. We do appreciate you guys for helping out every year. And it gets more exciting each year.
Right.
And this year, we have 7 checkpoints again, and we're starting to double up the checkpoints. So you get to your checkpoint, it gets over inundated with people. They come in as they go to 1, 2, 3, and then they play a game. Now there'll be 2 people to play games. And you'll be able to get more raffle tickets and move on to your next one if you want to do that.
And that right there, the checkpoints, tell the folks if they want to, let's say, sponsor a checkpoint. What does that entail?
That just means going out in the desert and bringing your advertisement. Either you're a club or you're a business. and you want to promote, if you're a club and you want to promote, let's just say, MS, you know, awareness, then you can do that. We have Megan's Legacy out there. They promote off-road safety. They probably even have safety courses available at the site. They're going to have two canopies, one at base camp and one at checkpoint number 6. But you can come out there and play a game. And the games vary. It's whatever they do. They compete. The checkpoints compete for a prize, a trophy. So they all kind of keep it quiet what they're going to do. But there's been the toss the little rubber turd into the toilet type of thing. And they've also had shooting balloons, you know, with little BB guns, to get the prizes you want to get. You get 1 to 3 raffle tickets per win.
All right. Well, we're going to bring Mark in after the half. Let's just run to another 4 minutes and talk some more about, you know, Lost Loser Fun Run. Because as a business, whether you're a new business, an old business, you know, you can actually participate by buying a checkpoint.
We don't sell checkpoints.
Oh, you don't sell the checkpoint?
No. We don't.
So how do you make your money?
We do the best we can on ticket sales, and we're there to promote the off-road areas.
That's awesome.
But as far as vendors go at base camp, we don't ask for money. We'll take it.
Yeah, but you can always donate.
We don't ask for money. We ask for raffle prizes. And what have we gotten before?
Oh, you got...
Oh, like generator, tires.
Oh, yeah.
Winches.
Yep. Lift kits.
Lift kits.
All kinds of things like
complete,
that.
Complete. Not bar. One lift kit. I mean, all four sides.
Yes,
not just for the left front wheel.
We've had shocks. We've had everything you can think of that's off-road. And this year, we're going to do a women's raffle. So
finally,
I'm trying to get some of the gals together to get, 10 to 15 women's prizes.
Well,
that'll be fun.
I'd go online and Google women's off-road apparel.
Do you want me to do that?
Yes. Then you go to these women and say, hey, we're going to do a special, you know, raffle for women's off-road apparel. What do you have?
Okay, I got you. Okay.
See what I'm saying? And then they can bring, you know, because let's face it, women are built differently than men, no matter what some of these people say in the news. And, you know, helmets, shirts, pants.
Gloves.
Boots, gloves.
Yes.
Chest protectors that actually fit, you know, because a chest protector for a female, they're not going to be happy with it if it's a male chest protector. So I'm just saying that would be just kind of a nice little different opportunity for the ladies.
I feel that if I got too involved with the ladies' raffle, I would get in trouble because someone would be mad about what I'd have said.
No, don't you have a lady in your club that would be perfect?
I do. Her name is Shannon Bream, and she's got the job.
Wait, she's on Fox News.
No.
Shannon Bream?
No, she's a court reporter. So,
well, there is a Shannon Bream on Fox News.
I'll tell her she's famous.
Yeah, she's
famous. And I'll ask her, do you have two jobs?
I know. So I'm just saying, any way you want to get involved, you still need volunteers?
Of course.
Okay.
We can always accept volunteers. We have something to do all the time. And a lot of it's out in the course, mm-hmm. Especially during the event, which is Saturday the 7th. We start Friday the 6th with pre-registration, registration, and then any kind of swag sales. Like,
and people can camp out there.
Oh, you can camp for free out there. Right. Oh, I was talking about vendors. Vendors, we just asked for a raffle prize, mm-hmm. and our insurance will cover them. So if you're interested in coming out and vending, please let me know. And you can go on SanDiegoOffroadCoalition.org. And SDORC.org,
right?
And go to info and put my name in it, Jeff Jones, into the information line, and they'll get me the email to it.
Okay, so here's I was over at Wayne Miller Tire yesterday or Friday talking to Ricky,
mm-hmm.
and I said, because he's doing General Automotive as well as tires.
Oh, yeah.
I said, so when are you going to do like a little quasi car show at this location to let people know that's what you do? Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I says, why don't you hook up with the Off-Road Coalition, San Diego Off-Road Coalition, and do an off-road show at your location on a Sunday, you know, because you're closed and there's no real business to speak of, and I'll put you on KUSI TV. That'll promote it, and you could promote the fact that you support SDORC, and that'd be the first Lost Lizard Fun Run promote. And then you'll have the other one in October.
Sounds like a plan.
So I've got Ricky all fired up, so all you have to do is swing in next week and chat with him. And I told him, I said, because, you know, doesn't SCRC, they have their own insurance so that Ricky doesn't have to write a check for insurance?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and he's always thought that was the biggest bugaboo, was having to, I says, nope, SDRC's got it handled for you.
Yeah, I'm glad you told me that, because I'll talk to him tomorrow.
Absolutely. In that area. I'm always promoting, you know, SDRC, because it's such an important organization, right along with all the rest of them. I don't favor one over the other. I mean, all of the groups do a great job. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Mark Smith is on the line. This is SDRC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome to SCRC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment brought to you by Asmar Auto Care, 8621 Troy Street in Spring Valley. You go to service at asmarauto.com. Napa Auto Care, ASC certified, AAA approved. And the beauty is, if you go off-road, or if you're a race car driver, or maybe you just, your car's filthy and you just need to get it clean, you live out in the hills, they have the only steam cleaning system that I'm aware of. And when they do a steam clean on your vehicle, you're going to be blown away. Reasonably priced, do a phenomenal, phenomenal job. And Zebra Adventures. I was out there the other day. Boy, those guys, they can take any kind of an off-road vehicle you're looking for. Everything from a Porsche to a Toyota to a Ford, Chevy, makes no difference. They're at 8286 Miramar Road. It's at Zebra_Adventure1. Check these guys out.
I got to tell you that Ben and Noah,
the
brothers that run Zebra,
yep.
Noah's going to be over at Bo Niece's house today about 1 o'clock.
Oh, really?
I go there after here to help him move.
Bo's moving?
He's moving to Payson, Arizona. That he's going to just do his thing there. He's sick of San Diego,
California.
Yeah, we can talk about that forever. But
he could just put everything in the back of a pickup truck and send him on his way.
He's apparently, there's a welding table that needs to have Noah, me, Alan with TDS, and also
anybody that can lift it.
And I got to see this welding table. I hope I don't get a hernia out of it.
Hey, we got Mark Smith on the line. Mark, can you come over and help us lift a 2,000-pound welding table?
Sure, Dave. Where do you want me to report to?
Get your helicopter and look gas up, and we'll see. I don't know, Spring Valley probably, or someplace with that guy.
Fantastic.
Hi, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
How's the wonderful state of California in Sacramento?
Well, you know, it's been really nice. The legislature's been gone for a month, and you know what they say, when they're not around, they can't hurt you, but they come back Monday. And they're back for another month. They finish all their business on August 31st, and then they're all going to go back home and try to get reelected. So that's what's going on up here in Sacramento.
All right. Well, I got a sneaky feeling you've got your seatbelt on and you're ready for Monday.
I got to put a suit and tie on again for the first time in a month. I'm not really ready.
So what do you got on the table that you're going to try to push through before they leave again?
Well, I think the big thing that we're all focused on, and as you guys have talked about, is the Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Safety Program, right? AB 1613 by Wilson. That bill is in its final committee jurisdiction, the Appropriations Committee, and then it's going to go to a final floor vote before it might end up on the governor's desk for a signature. There's still some ongoing discussion about the programmatic structure of that bill. One of the big things is, you know, are street legal vehicles subject to the operations of this safety program when they are operating in OHV areas, right, in off-highway areas, whatever those might be? And so those are ongoing conversations that the groups have been having with the author's office. I think we've identified and agreed that You want anybody who's recreating in these spaces to participate in that safety program, right? It doesn't matter. Once you're back there, you know, you want to know that the person coming at you has been safety trained, and they want to know that you've had some safety training, right? So that we can reduce collisions and accidents and deaths and any other things that might be happening back out there. But I think this thing is on a glide path to the governor's desk, and I'm optimistic. I know Ed's been following along. I don't know, Ed, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. And I think it's going to pass. Like you said, it's going to glide along. And there is the controversy of, should street legal vehicles be subject to this training? And like I've said before, this is not the hill that I die on, whether that takes place or not. And at the beginning, I was pretty much against having street legal vehicles get trained. Right, they're not really part of the problem, so we shouldn't have to include them in this solution.
Just for the listeners, define a street legal vehicle. Is it something that's related to off-roading, or is it just like your Kia that you drove up in?
Okay, and there is a gray area, that, and I'll get to that. But okay. A street legal vehicle is like a Jeep or a four-wheel drive truck or a Baja
Bug. But it's
Bug,
one that is capable
of
going off-road.
Or a dual sport motorcycle. Yeah, so a street legal vehicle that is capable of going off-road.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify to somebody, you know, that might not understand what the Sacramento's looking at as far as street legal.
If it's got a license plate and requires insurance,
it's ready.
That's your street legal. Green sticker would be your
right. The one. And I'm not against training. I think everybody be proactive, not reactive.
And there's this gray area about what do we say to someone who's driving a Subaru who's going to a hiking staging area or a fishing place or going rock hounding, or just want to camp. Like there's people who are not what we call off-roaders who are using these green sticker routes in the national forests and on the Bureau of Land Management land. They're going out, or Anzabrego State Park also. People are using other vehicles to access areas, and should they have to have the training? And so it's gray. Like what do you do with that?
I don't like it. I've been against it since we started talking about it, and I feel that big government is not a good thing. You're going to get all these cars and trucks that are capable to do this have to go through training or get in trouble for it. But you know, again,
I brought this up, and their justification for keeping the street legal in is that they would not be doing things that would cause them to need to talk to law enforcement, and therefore they wouldn't be getting checked. And I disagree with this.
I think that's a great thing to point out. There are clear provisions in this bill that prohibit law enforcement, and it was expanded to include, you know, the bulk of law enforcement personnel, that they cannot stop you in these areas for the sole purpose of determining whether or not the vehicle is being operated in violation of this section, meaning does the driver have a safety card indicating that he or she has taken the safety course, right? And so I was reading that verbatim from the legislation. So for these folks that are just going to a fishing hole, or maybe, you know, pulling a camper in a quarter mile or a half mile on a trail, they're not going to be approached by law enforcement, and thumb screws are not going to be put to them. And so I think that is a safety net for those folks in regard to this legislation.
Well, I'm thinking by having, you know, you do the street legal cars, it's not something that the police officer can pull you over for to check, but in the event you have an infraction, say you drive off the road into a gully, then he could use that at least to say, hey, do you have a safety card? You know, just another tool for him to see whether you do or you don't. But I don't think you could use it, you know, as an initial reason to stop.
And what is the punishment? The first offense, second offense?
I think that would be up to the police officer, wouldn't it?
No, that's spelled out in the bill as well. The first offense is a violation, which can be waived by the court. So it can basically be a fix-it ticket, right? So, and, you know, we've done this in the past with other safety programs. You want to give people an opportunity to phase the program in. You don't want to, on day one,
right,
when most people are still becoming aware, you know, if they listen to your show, they're aware. But if they don't, and shame them for not listening to your show, but if they don't, they may not be aware on day one, right? And so you got to give them a grace period, and you got to give them the opportunity to be like, oh, I didn't know about that. Let me go ahead and take that course without paying a fine. Right. It's the repeat offenders, the people who are, and think about this, if you're a repeat offender, you're out there tearing it up. You're not respecting public versus private property. Right. You're running over snowy plovers, right? I mean, whatever it is you want to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. I use an extreme example, but by the time you get caught for the second or third time by law enforcement, think about all the times that that individual's probably violated the law prior to that, right? So that's when the penalties come in a little bit harder, and they're all misdemeanors. Look, none of these things are ever going to put anybody in jail.
Right.
That is not the intended use of this program. None of these things are ever going to result in the confiscation of your vehicle, your ability to recreate, make you terminate your trip, or anything like that at all.
So as our lobbyist, I always recommend people pay attention to what our lobbyists are, because you've done all the work. You've read all the files. You're sitting in the chair. What is your feeling on this bill?
I think it's going to get to the governor's desk, and I think the governor's going to sign it. I think the state, the Division of Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Recreation and Parks, which is the department over the division, I think they're very interested in seeing this enacted into law.
Okay.
I mean, you guys are as aware as I am. We've had some high-profile incidents and some tragic deaths. And anything that we can do to bring a little bit better level of safety to what we're doing while we're enjoying ourselves out in the backcountry is a noble thing to do.
I totally agree.
I agree too.
Right. Oh, you agree to this one?
Huh? Oh, I agree to that. Yes.
Right. We had your feet on the fire. I was waiting to see. We're going to make you go pick up that welding table by yourself.
I love this personally. I've been out in the desert and I've run across all kind of bad behavior, and I really believe something needs to be done. And so we've helped with this. I'm still not convinced that street legal should be a part of it. But like I said, I don't have really strong feelings about it, but I think they're not really the problem.
Well, it's
I
not going to hurt.
I agree.
See,
it won't hurt.
As long as it doesn't hurt the off-roading community. If anything, Mark, you tell me if I'm right. If somebody that has a Jeep never plans to go, then wants to go off-road, and they find out that they need to do this, well, what's the worst-case scenario? They won't go off-road.
Or they'll learn.
Perhaps not.
Or they'll take a 40-minute.
Right?
What?
And look, we always have the opportunity to amend the law again.
Sure,
right?
sure.
So if this thing gets implemented 2-3 years down the road, we decide we want to make some changes, you know, we make some changes. So right. Lori Wilson, the author, is still going to be around. And
mm-hmm.
There are two other bills I want to talk about, though, really quickly, Dave, before you play me out of the segment, because I think I'm only with you for one segment.
Yeah, we'll give you a... tell you what.
Could you stick around for another segment?
Yeah, it's really important,
please?
that we have you on, and we really appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday. Good thing there's no motorsports on TV. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and get Mark back on the show. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, this is SDORC Dirt Radio. Welcome back. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, this segment is brought to you by SNS Off-Road Magazine. You need to get on their website, sign up, SSORMAG.com. Help support these two folks that have been pushing the desert for back since the 80s. They do just a phenomenal job. You can just go, again, just go to the website. It used to be a magazine. I think it still is. But you can get more pages online. SSORMAG.com. And Wayne Miller Tire. We're just talking about them off air. Wayne Miller Tire is a mobile tire repair shop, but they also do general repair. And it's just, I mean, if you're going to go in for tires, you know, and you need an oil change, a tune-up, an alignment, or you're getting new tires and you need an alignment, you know, no sense going anyplace else. Wayne will take care of the whole thing. And I was talking to Ricky Friday, and he says, what size tires do you tell him? I say from a golf cart to a tractor trailer. And he laughed. And so, yeah, check these guys out. They're absolutely amazing. 619-596-2800. We're even thinking about doing an event out there with SDORC. So stay tuned on the website. All right, Mark. the floor is yours. You had a couple other bills to talk about.
Yeah. You know, we were talking a little bit about street legal vehicles on off-highway roads earlier, but let's talk about the reverse now. I think most of your listeners are probably familiar. You know, you can't take an OHV vehicle on street legal roads. You can in limited capacities up to 3 miles and in designated areas. I want to talk specifically about a bill for the city of Needles, and Ed and can probably weigh in here as well. But city of Needles has had a pilot program in place that allows them to extend the operation of OHV vehicles on street legal roads beyond that 3 mile limit. And they've had that in place for a couple of years now. And we're running a bill that would allow them to continue that pilot program through 2033. So a pretty significant expansion of that. And, you know, I think it's been working well, and I think that's why the legislature is approving it. But really what we're aiming at here is the importance and the unique needs of that area, aiming to connect trails and recreational areas with services and accommodations, right? And because there's just a lot of recreation that happens out in that area. And Ed, I'll let you weigh in as well. But this bill's on a glide path, and I definitely think it's going to get to the governor's desk and get signed.
Yeah, the city of Needles is not a wealthy city. It's out in the desert. It's near the Colorado River, and the city government is trying to enhance its economic viability. So this bill is going to make it so that people can recreate in the desert and then drive into the city with their vehicles and get a hotel. They can get a meal. They can get fuel. And they can go more than 3 miles, because I think it's like 4 or 5 miles to get to some of that stuff from the Bureau of Land Management areas. So I love this bill, and I think it's really
makes
great.
Sense. It makes sense.
It makes sense, and I hope they're setting a precedent for other communities and other cities out in the wild parts of the state, so that people can come and go and have a recreational experience, and come back to civilization to get what they need, and then go back out in the desert. So I love it, and I hope it will pass. And I'm glad that you said that you said on a glide path. So it looks like it's going to be it's going to get approved. I don't see any problems with that. Okay, what's the next bill?
The next bill is AB 2453 by Michelle Rodriguez, and this bill will allow first responders, including peace officers, to use OHV vehicles in emergency response situations and under certain policies to travel limited distance on highways to reach areas where they might need to be providing first responder services. And again, I think this is one of those no-brainer bills, right? I'm going to go on the assumption here that first responders are trained to operate the vehicles that they are operating in when they're out on patrol. They know how to do that safely and under a whole set of circumstances. And so giving them access to get to where they need to go. You know, if it was me in a car crash, I would want somebody to be able to respond to me without having to be like, oh, am I on a road or am I on an OHV trail, right? And so I think, again, this bill is a common sense bill. It's been going through the legislative process with no opposition, and I also think this is one the governor is going to sign.
Well, and not only that, you know as well as I do, anytime, you know, police officers, border patrol, anytime they buy a new vehicle, training comes with it. They don't assume that you know how to ride a side-by-side. They don't assume you can even ride a motorcycle. So, you know, the consumer could rest assured if this person comes up on whatever vehicle they decide to use, they'll be very well trained in it.
I would assume that, yes. And then the last one I just want to bring up is a bill that we were talking about, I think the last time I was on your show. This one may not move before the end of the year. It's been stuck for about a year. But it would allow grants that the division puts out to be extended to eligible applicants, including special districts that employ sworn personnel, so law enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this bill, I think, though well-intentioned and supported by members of the off-highway recreation community, it ended up stalling out in the Appropriations Committee last year. Now, the final deadline for that bill to move or not move is August 13th. But the powers that be put a pause on it last year as it was navigating its way through the process. And my guess is it probably will not get unstuck. So just in case any of your listeners had been familiar with that one or remember that one, you know, not every bill we always work on and support makes its way through the legislative process. And this is one of those that just might not make it this year. And who knows, we might see it brought back in a future year, but this one probably won't get to the governor's desk.
What's the roadblock? What seems to be the cause of this not moving?
You know, that's a great question. I will point out that unlike some of the other bills that we talked about, this one is authored by a Republican. And it does have a fiscal cost to it. And sometimes these bills are held not for a policy reason, but for a political reason, right? And I don't know that to be fact, Dave, and I don't want to say that that's the case. I just want to say we live in a world where there's a red team and a blue team. And in California, the blue team is the one in charge. Right. This happens to be a bill authored by the red team. And while it might be well-intentioned, maybe they just say, look, you've got a bunch of bills this year. We're going to let these ones go, but not that one, right? And sometimes it can be that simple.
And it's funny because the only reason the people are in government is to protect the people. And this, to me, looks like another form of protection for the people. But that's just me.
I've done some work on this bill because this was sponsored by the city of Hesperia. So up in the high desert, when you're driving up Highway 15, you get up to the top. The first city there is Hesperia. And so that city's Department of Parks and Recreation actually owns some land. And they'd been having some off-roaders illegally going on their land. And they wanted to be able to apply for a state parks grant, a law enforcement grant, so they could use that to chase the people off of the property.
Oh, there you go.
But they're not that agency is not eligible to apply for the grant. So this bill would make it so they could. In my opinion, the amount of special districts that would qualify for those grants is very limited. It would only be a couple in the state.
That's what I was thinking.
And I had talked to another advocate who didn't like it because it would be taking money away from other law enforcement grants. But I don't have a big opinion on this, but I think it's okay if they want to get into the grant process and try to take care of their area.
Well, as long as it's not gone and it's just stalled, you know, that's better than having it, you know, taken off the table, I think.
Well, and Mark is right. We'll just have to see if it can come out of the committee by the 13th. And if it doesn't, they may introduce it again next year.
Okay.
I like the fact that these bills aren't attacking our lands and trying to remove them. We've had problems this year with the WEMO closures and things like that, and these bills seem to be addressing more of helpful things and supporting our law enforcement and our medical people. So,
well, we can always be.
You know what?
Go ahead.
It's been a good year for us up in the Capitol, right? I think we've been able to come together as a community to work on safety. We've been able to demonstrate that we're a responsible community. You know, not every year is going to be like this. There's definitely going to be years where we're under attack, but it's been a good year for us. So,
right. Well, and you bring up a really good point. All you folks out there that go to the desert, go to the mountains, go wherever you go and utilize the off-road areas, be responsible. Don't shine a spotlight on yourself. Don't do stupid stuff, because that's where they'll use that as a way to get you off of those properties, and you'll affect everybody. Just be responsible. That's all we're asking.
Look, don't touch. I'm just kidding. Go up there and watch nature and know
Absolutely.
That your four-wheel drive vehicle is getting you places that most of the city you can't do.
Unless you're Audrey, because she can take her passenger car anywhere, up any mountain, up any gully.
She uses momentum right, to get
momentum,
her over.
There you go. And doesn't even have to have air in the tires. It's not even an issue. All right, Mark. Hey, it's really good chatting with you. I really appreciate it when you take time out of your Sunday to educate the masses. I mean, you've really brought a lot of, you know, personality and professionalism to this show, and we highly appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate being on. Have me back anytime.
All right.
Send me that address. I'll go fire up my helicopter.
All right. Get that bad boy, because I'm not lifting any welding table. I don't even care if it's 2 pounds.
Thank you, Mark, for all you do. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, Mark.
Of course, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to see if we can hire some more people to move that welding Table on SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment brought to you by Lifestyle Garage out in lovely Lakeside. Winter Gardens Boulevard, you can't miss it. Massive sign. They do complete off-road vehicle service as well as normal cars too. But if you have a Jeep, Toyota, Chevy, Ram, Ford, whatever four-wheel drive, they know it from headlight to taillight. They will service them all. If you're looking to modify it and you really don't know where to go to modify it or what you want, but you have an idea or a dream, Tony can definitely make that happen. Every time a new product comes out, he buys it and he puts it on either his vehicle, his son's vehicle, or his wife's vehicle. And they truly test it before they release it to you. And if you're looking for a job in the off-road vehicle repair and maintenance business, they're always looking for qualified technicians. All you have to do is call them at 619-499-5323. All right, you want to get a motorcycle, you want to get a side-by-side, maybe you want to get like a watercraft. Well, Motor World of El Cajon is what we recommend. 315 North Magnolia in El Cajon, 619-442-0941. Mention you heard it on SDORC Dirt Radio for a discount. Very knowledgeable people. They're not open today because they're out riding. They're probably not even listening. That's the kind of guys and girls that they are. But they've been around for, gosh, more years than I care to admit. Glenn is probably one of the greatest owners that I've ever met, always giving back to the community. So make sure you take a run over to 315 North Magnolia in El Cajon, 619-442-0941. Parts, pieces, Hondas, gas. They sell generators. I've bought more things from there than I care to admit. Mm-hmm. Check these guys out. All right, so we've got, what do you want to do with the last segment?
I've got a controversial topic. There's an area called Prairie City. It's a state vehicular recreation area in California. It's east of Sacramento. And surrounding it is mostly open space. And there's a project that open space is private property, and it's beautiful. It looks natural. There's oak trees and grass.
Sounds beautiful. Prairie City?
Yeah. So there's the off-road park, and then surrounding it is this open space. And a project is coming to put an industrial-scale solar project around it, to put solar. And a couple of off-road groups are very opposed to this. And I believe they've started a lawsuit, and they're fighting it. And I don't believe that they should be fighting it. I'm of the opinion that I believe in private property rights, that people own property. They should, you know, within certain parameters, they should be able to do what they want with it. And the people who own this property, they want to make money off of their land. Like, I get that. And so if they don't allow a solar project, they might consider making a housing project. And if you look in this area nearby, there's a bunch of new housing projects. And so if we have an off-road park, what would we prefer for a neighbor? Would we want to have a solar facility or a housing project?
Definitely solar.
So you get the housing project, you get the NIMBYs, right? Not in my backyard.
Yep.
Right? The people will say, we don't want the dust, we don't want the noise, we don't want whatever, right? But the solar, who's going to be complaining? Like,
solar never bothered me. That one solar farm on your way to Las Vegas where they had all the panels going to
the super bright light.
Oh, that was the weirdest thing I ever seen. But
you can see that from 40,000 feet. Like, it's really bright when I flew to Las Vegas. Yeah. I think they can see it in orbit.
That would be a bit annoying. But solar panels never bothered me. The windmills, I don't get that part
of
it.
I'm not a windmill guy at all.
It takes so much fuel just to get all those things out there.
And they only run 3 years. They're only good for 3 years.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, 3 years. And then nothing's biodegradable. They have to bury the blades. If they catch fire, I had a good friend of mine that was got a job. He was just getting ready to retire, and he got a contract to haul blades out to the desert. Well, they're paying him so much money, he couldn't retire. But you can't go into gas stations when you're loaded up, especially with the blades, because they're so long. Had to buy special built trailers, you know. So driving and it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. So, and you go down to Ocotillo Wells, you go down to Ocotillo, and you see all these windmills, and I don't know, maybe a half dozen are spinning. The rest of them are just dormant. So, I'm not getting any of that.
They're not going very fast.
Well, they have a speed that they want that is optimal, and the rotation of the blades is adjustable. And so, they adjust the pitch so that they stay within the speed parameter that optimizes the power.
Gotcha.
It would be interesting to talk to the people that run one of these windmill facilities to find out exactly how they work, because I'd be interested. I don't understand. Like, I've seen it when it's windy and they're all turned off.
Yeah.
Right. When I say turn them off, they turn the blades.
Too much wind.
Well, they can adjust the pitch so that it'll work, but I think that the grid can only take so much energy, and if it's a Saturday, right, I'm out in the desert on a Saturday, and the businesses are not all absorbing electricity, right? So the solar and the other stuff is providing enough power in the grid, and they don't need this project, so they turn it off.
Right.
I think that's what's going on. But I've been out there, and they're making money. They're spinning, but they're not all spinning. Some of them are apparently broken.
Right. They're broken.
They're not reliable, like, you know.
Well, when
like
you weigh the maintenance, upkeep, longevity to what you're getting in return, they'll never tell you that.
So, like we've talked about electric cars, they have to go 60 or 70,000 miles before they turn green.
If you're lucky.
You know, because it takes a lot of energy to build the car.
It ruins roads because they're so heavy. You have to buy tires about every 12,000 miles. Okay, you could test me if you'd like. Go to Mission Valley Monday morning at 3 in the afternoon or 3 in the morning, where all those apartment complexes are next to the Chevy dealership. Well, go to that Walmart where they have a handful of electric cars, and count how many cars are in a line to get charged up. Because you can't put them in an apartment complexes. So I've had people tell me they'll sit there for 2 to 3 hours in line waiting to get charged up, because there's no place to get them charged. So that's one of the main reasons the electric vehicle. Now, if the government would have adjusted the United States to electric cars coming in by upgrading the grids, turning on the nuclear power plants, doing all the things positive first, then presented us with electric cars, I don't think we'd have had a problem. But it's like anything. They always put the horse behind the cart.
I got a story for you. So I drove a school bus before I retired three years ago. And at the time, they were starting to buy electric buses and get chargers where they can be plugged in all night. And it was a great theory, because they can pull power out of these buses and use it like on the weekends and put it back in during the evening or in the charging cycle. But we were talking, and every month we'd have a meeting with all the school bus drivers and then the supervisors, and he's saying, Jeff, we're gonna buy regular diesel buses also. So we're gonna get 50% electric and 50% diesel. And the reason why that is because if something happens in San Diego, get a tsunami, earthquake, and we need to evacuate people, the school buses that are electric will get you to Campo, and that's it.
That's it.
But the diesel buses will get you back and forth as long as you can keep putting diesel in them.
Right. And I'm not saying electric isn't the future.
I'm saying we're not ready for it.
I agree.
And, you know, I mean, I have an electric car, which I didn't even drive. And I could have saved myself, you know, money by driving that out here today. But it's got it. To turn the, to adjust the mirrors, I got to go into the computer. To, you know,
oh, my God. Oh, what kind of electric car do you have?
It's a Volvo. It's super small. You couldn't get in the back seat of your life depending on it. It's $46,000. It only goes 250 miles.
See, I'm 90% sure my next car will be a hybrid.
Without a shadow of a doubt. That's the only way to fly.
I love that. They get a lot of miles per gallon.
My wife has a 2012 Toyota Prius V. She's got 240-some-odd thousand miles and the battery died.
So Sounds pretty good.
And we put a new battery in it for $1,400. And now she's going again.
That's good, too.
Wow, that's
amazing. But there are other manufacturers. Like a friend of mine had a Ford Escape SUV, and battery went out, $25,000.
Well, that's a total.
The car is not worth it. The car is not worth it. So I'm just saying, it's like anything. You got to get ready, and you got to build accordingly. So car manufacturers, darn it, I got your bug.
Excuse you.
They're waning away. From not getting rid of it, but they're just backing off electric. They're pushing stronger towards hybrid.
I agree with hybrid, though.
Once they get electric dialed in, then they'll wane away from hybrid, and you'll be able to go full electric.
I'd love to be driving across the country and having my electric car part of it turn off, the engine turn on, and start charging the battery up, and just keep moving.
Right.
And just, you know, you can go for thousands
of
miles.
Or have a solar panel on your roof is a solar panel.
Solar panels are funny. Do you have them at your house? Mm-hmm. I don't, and I started doing these the Jackery solar generators, and you got to have these panels pointed right at the sun to get your 200 watts or whatever it is. And
ours are leveled. I've got 20 going one way and about 30 going the other way, east to west and north to south. And the key is keeping them clean. If you don't clean them and keep the surfaces clean, you degrade the amount of electricity that you're saving. So,
yeah.
Now that we've done a solar show,
I know.
Along with SDRs.
What should we talk about next?
How do people get a hold of you guys if they want to help out at the Lost Lizard Fun Run?
You can go on sdorc.org, and a bunch of information is on there on how to contact us. Our pre-registration is open, folks. Save yourself $20 on an entry and a shirt, and you also get a swag bag with it.
And you feed them.
We feed them, yes. There's food. Yeah.
We can always tell.
The swag bag has everything in it, from like a mouse pad to chapsticks to koozies to you get a little bit of everything in there. Yeah,
just something fun.
So a little extra.
All right. That's SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.